If you were here on Sunday, you heard me talking about our new camera system that we have here. I now have it set up so that I get alerts on my cell phone, and I was sharing that I get a lot of alerts because I had it set for the front door, and a bird was flying right overhead over and over. So apparently this bird is a threat to the building or something, and that's why I'm being told about this. But so I switched it to now it tells me what's going on inside of the building instead. We are bird free in here as far as I know, and so it makes it a little bit easier. The thing is, I get these alerts on my phone, and I have this special alarm that I set up. I actually had our little five-year-old record the message, and it just goes ding ding. And so I know when something is happening in the building, and that can either be something inside or an aggressive change of weather quickly. Apparently it picks up on that outside too. But the other day I had my phone in my pocket, it was just yesterday, and I was moving stuff from this room into another room and back and forth, and I had my phone on, and every single time I was walking through, I had my hands full, and so I couldn't really do anything about it. But every time I was walking through, I would hear ding ding, and then I would walk back and I would kind of forget about it, and I would hear ding ding, and it just kept on doing this. And for, I want to say, probably 40 times, I just kept on hearing ding ding, and I never decided to turn it off. And I just finally, I started looking at the camera angrily and telling it, I get it, okay? You know, the thing is, yeah, it got to the point where I kind of knew that I was being watched in the church building, and it was a little bit strange, but we wanted to make this comfortable space so that we can have these children in this room, and so that they can hear the service and that they can be sort of part of it as they're training up here. So that's what we were moving around, but it was driving me crazy to know that I was being watched. I have a really contentious relationship with Ash Wednesday because it's almost like we play pretend. All of a sudden we make this decision that we're going to be dust. And the thing I struggle with is that, you know, we're not dust, because we have the Holy Spirit within us. And what I don't like is that so often Christians on this day, including myself, will come up and acknowledge that I'm nothing, but that's not true. It's not true. It's true that apart from Christ, I am nothing. I am only dust. But with Jesus, we are filled with His Holy Spirit. We watch the power of His Holy Spirit move, and the Spirit gives life in us. And so when we come up for our ashes today, when I say, remember that you are only dust, I want you to remember, yes, apart from Christ. And don't play pretend today. Remember that apart from Christ, you are dust, but with Him, you are filled with His life and the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's not what I want to talk about today. The thing that I have a hard time about in Lent, aside from just today, is that it's the season of holiness. It's the season where we focus so much on our internal stuff. And it's a season that can really inspire a selfishness in someone like me. You know, there were years where I gave up French fries or chocolate, clearly not that recently, but there were times when I would do that. And the whole focus in Lent was about how this was affecting me, how hard this was for me. And I want to say, what if Lent had nothing to do with me? What if Lent had nothing to do with you or yourself? You know, it's this season of holiness, but we're caught in this very strange tension, because even though we might live with this kind of knowledge that we need to bring in holiness in our lives, that is not for salvation's purpose. I'm going to tell you right now, and don't let this be an excuse to not do anything for Lent, okay? But I'm going to tell you right now that what you do or do not do for Lent has nothing to do with the salvation of your souls. Whether you do a good job keeping your Lenten promise, whether you do all kinds of good works, or you're great with not eating chocolate, has nothing to do with the salvation of your souls. You are saved, and only saved, through the blood of Jesus Christ. So if this is a season of holiness, and it's a season where we focus on living a life of penitence and a knowledge that apart from Christ we are only dust, why do we do it? Why do we live this holiness? Why do we even need to live a life that is pleasing to God if we have already shown him that we are his? Why do we live a life of external holiness and internal holiness? Well, I want you to think about what it says at the end of this Joel reading. God, our prayer is that the world doesn't see that you've given up on us, or that the promise of God is empty. Don't make your chosen people, you know, a laughing stock against you. Well, how do we do that? Look at what Paul says. He says that his life, a life with exemplary living, is done for the intention that his ministry will not prove empty. It will show that really what he's trying to do, what he's showing to the people, is that a life lived in Jesus Christ is a life of holiness. And he lives above reproach in order that no one else would stumble. And I think, isn't that the key point of Lent? Isn't that the key to our holiness? Is that we live a life where we try to strive for his holiness with his help, to model Jesus Christ in our life for the only purpose that other people would not stumble. I think more than anything, Lent is a reminder that someone is always watching. And I'm not just talking about God watching our actions and remember, we're saved. But the world is watching us. The world is waiting for us to stumble so that their stumbling is not a problem. Because if we have problems, what's the point? If we err, if we show our lives not moving towards holiness, but instead focusing on what we can get away with, then wouldn't they do the same thing? Those who are watching are looking for excuses for living a life of unholiness. And so it's our call to remember to live a life where we are focused on God's kingdom and God's holiness. This season of Lent, I really want to encourage you to not focus so inwardly that you would be no earthly good, but instead to focus on what others will see, to focus on how other people would experience the kingdom of God. Now, here's the tension, though, because remember what Jesus says, don't do your acts so that other people will watch you, or do it to please other people. Your actions are for the kingdom of God and to bring him glory. So watch out. I want you to remember throughout this season of Lent that it's not about what you can receive in Lent. This season and what you do in it is not going to change your salvation status, save for giving your life to Jesus Christ. Your acts this season will have nothing to do with your salvation. But what if it had something to do with somebody who was watching you's salvation? What if it had everything to do with someone else's? That when they see your life filled with joy, filled with holiness, and when you sin, you turn back to God. When you fail, you acknowledge your failures, and you acknowledge that apart from him, you are dust. What if in seeing that, they would see that the kingdom of God is infectious, that there's something so desirable about coming to Jesus and giving their life to Jesus? What if that happened because you said yes to striving toward holiness? Not that you will achieve it, not that you will show perfection, because everyone will know that that's not true. But instead, that you strive to be more Christ-like, to show in your actions and in your heart that the kingdom has made you different. So I want to say salvation depends on one thing, saying yes to Jesus Christ. But the salvation of others might require that you live a life of holiness so that they can make that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ. This Lent is not about you. It's about what you can do for the kingdom.